Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra, and part two about Latino art in the community. And here on Puentes again, Irene Oliver Lewis, artistic producer and founder of the Court Youth Center and Alma de Arte Charter High School. Why don't you talk about your creativity as far as why you started? You became the artistic producer and founder of the Court Youth Center, Alma de Arte Charter School. Well, you made it possible for a lot of the students for Latino art in the community.
Yeah, I found out through my career that if you, like an artist, always wants to change and look and refine and what their art is. Well, my art is theater. And so I had done, prior to here, had done a lot in acting. I had done a lot in directing. And then producing was the next thing. So I started to produce a lot of shows. I started to produce other artists and travel, took La Compañía around the country. I then started to go internationally and people were hiring me as an artist. So this whole art form of producing, I realized, is very powerful, because what you do as a producer is you smell it. You smell something, I feel, before the public does, and you create it, and then you fill a need for them. And so I just really loved it. So when I came back home, that's really what I did with the Court Youth Center. There was a need. Reuben Smith said there's a, you know, he wanted to start an after-school program in arts and physical activity. Well, I said, yeah, there's nothing happening, but what is beyond just arts and physical activity? What are you looking at in creative learning, in creative thinking, in cultural identity, in youth identity, in youth culture? And so all of the programs that I started building at the Court Youth Center always had to go back to that. What does a kid want to do? So I asked them. I had their voice in part of the creation, as well as my voice in understanding what is good quality art or how do you make it excellent. I never wanted it's little kid art or this. I wanted good quality art. So I always brought in good artists, good professional artists to work with the kids. And then it just grew. And never knowing that we would ever start a school, it just naturally grew that it was time. And one of the kids, Eric Chavez, said he was there in an all-day program, and he said, I don't understand why this can't be our school. And so that was like, he looked at me and I looked at him and I said, well, I don't know, let's find out. Found out about the charter movement. So it was just the beginning, and it just happened. And so all of that really is producing. People don't think about it in that way, but I'm really a producer and looking at what does the community need, how do we move forward. And actually, one of the first jobs when I came back home in the arts was through the Doñana Arts Council, and Heather Pollard had some grant money looking at what does the Arts Council, how does it serve the Hispanic community? And she says, Irene, will you help me? I know what you did in Albuquerque. Will you help us out? So I just researched, and I sent out a survey and finding out where are Hispanic artists, what are they doing, what do they want, what does the community want? And I did this huge report, and I also created an evening of Hispanic arts, which included music, literary arts, visual arts, and dance. And we did it at the Picacho Hills Country Club. And they said, what are you doing? And I said, well, you need a venue where you can have different things going on and stuff like that. And I just showed. And then everybody was so excited. And they said, oh, my God, where did you find these people? I said, they're in your backyards. They are in your front yards. They are around you. You just have to create an avenue to let them flourish. And then the mariachi conference came about. And then we did the Parque Festival and brought Latino artists into the festival, which was a visual art. And we had booths for kids. I remember at the beginning, myself and Fred Rubio, I said, let's do art. Let's do all the art activities from different cultures. I mean, different countries. So what is happening in Mexican art? What might be happening in Guatemalan art? And, you know, so they would do all this art form that was of different cultures and very, very much a big theme on Mexican art. But I said, let's do some other things too. And so we started creating, and you start really educating a public, and you start giving voice and avenues and opportunities for both professional established artists and emerging artists. And I was part of the New Mexico Arts Commission, and we kept saying emerging artists. And I says, my God, we've been emerging forever. When are we ever going to come to fruition here? And so that term emerging artists is, from an institutional standpoint, is used but can be derogatory for people. Do you call Johnny Flores an emergent artist? You know, he's been doing folk music all his life. You know, so when is he going to emerge? He has emerged. Cipriano Vigil, is a musician. I met him at the beginning of his career, but he'd been doing it since he was a kid. So there's a whole sense of traditional artists that should have emerged a long time ago and should be heard, to contemporary artists who are finding out who they are now. And the youth, I feel that we have that with the hip-hop, and we have it with the graph artists who are just finding their work and finding their voice. And that there is a young man that I think is brilliant at our school. And I'm going to say his name, Ernesto Moncada. I think he's just brilliant. He started out as a graph artist, and you should see his work. And he won one of the awards at the Senior Art Show. I am so enthralled with his work. I feel he could be major in our world. And I just want to give him the opportunity. So there's somebody like Ernesto who's just reaching out for the work, to somebody like Pamela Enrique Courts, who started out as a vendor in Mesilla, doing these incredible pieces of a decoupage, but decoupage is only a technique. What she did beyond that, in the artistry of her work that I saw initially, I was amazed. And I says, oh, you're so talented. Well, little did I know that her daughter would eventually come to Alma and graduate from Alma. But now she has just flourished and grown in 6-7 years. And she's always an artist in Mesilla for the Dia de los Muertos. She's on the Calavera Coalition, one of the artists with Calavera Coalition. So a lot of her images are Dia de los Muertos, but she did Frida Kahlo. I have some jewelry of hers that I used to give away. I'm not going to give away anymore because she won't do those anymore. But she is now, her artwork is the poster for the Spanish market. It's a big, huge international market in Santa Fe, and she did the poster for the contemporary show of Spanish Market. And so she's just going to hit. I mean, we have her here in Las Cruces. I am so proud of her and honored that she's just a normal kid just doing her art onward and onward and challenging. And she is, her images are of her culture, and she's an excellent artist. And then the other person that I also think about in Latino art or emerging is a woman named Joey Murillo. And Joey, both of these women, I met, Joey came to work with us in our after-school program at the Court Youth Center, but I didn't know that she produced all of this art. And she's incredible. She's a cartoonist. She's a fine artist. She does a lot of things with Dia de los Muertos. She's going to have a show at the Brannigan in November with her Dia de los Muertos art. But she put her career, her arts career, aside for many, many years until she's trained in art, got her degrees in art, taught art for a while, but went into the medical field and all this. Now she is just, now here in Las Cruces, and through her work with us at the Court Youth Center in Alma de Arte, just said, wait a minute, I want to do my art. And so she's doing her art, and we have collaborated on many projects together. But now she is going to have her own show in November. And wait till the community sees what she, the eclecticness of her work. But it's Latino. She comes from a Mexican family, grew up in she was a Valley girl in LA. And so now she's now able, she says, I'm getting sounds of my grandmother. Now that she's doing all this new work for this show, she says, I'm getting the sounds of my grandmother, the images, the things we used to do when we were little kids. And so it's coming back. So to me, that's showing that your culture, her culture never left her. It stayed dormant in the producing of the art. And now it's coming out in these two women. So these two women, to me, epitomize a sense of a believing in who you are. And Ernesto, so the young kid, he believes in himself. I know he does. And just giving him the opportunity. And there, these two ladies, is just opening up a whole world for our community and for us to understand who we are in southern New Mexico. And because they're doing images in northern New Mexico, you have very Hispanic images. You have the traditional thing of tin and straw and santos. Well, these two women have taken their Mexican background and our border of our here in southern New Mexico, we have closer to that, to the Mexican background and who we are and the images and, like I say, the sounds of my mother singing the mariachi and all that stuff that is in your pores. And if you let it out, eventually as an artist, it will speak the sound and the things that you have been brought up with. And I really hope that my dream and my focus is the next few years here in Las Cruces is to look at that Latino untapped artist.
Well, you yourself brought in the focus of your parents, your mother, with that play that you did. And tell us a little bit about that and how you felt.
Well, the play, actually, I had another play that I did prior to moving to Las Cruces. It was a children's show that I put together with original work and some adapted work. And it was called Color Me Creative. And it was using Latino, four Latino tales, and using color as an analogy of race and how we're all different colors. And I did several things, and I had the kids lift their hands, and we looked at color in a different way. But then all the pieces, and the signature piece is called The Kingdom of No Colorona. And so that was how color came to our community. And I did that. I toured with that for like 2 years before I moved back home, and it's what kept me going and paying the bills. And so I put that aside, and then I was hiring all these artists, and I said, we employ artists that are working, and I felt like a fake because I wasn't producing any of my work. And so I said, well, I need to produce the work. So my friend, who is the theater person at the Hispanic Cultural Center, Reeve Love, she called me up, and she says, Irene, do you have anything new? I says, well, I'm kind of thinking of some stories about my mom and my dad. And she says, good, I need something for May. Will you have it ready by May? So I had a deadline to go do this evening. I says, well, I was thinking about dichos. And she says, wonderful, do it. She just said, just do it, do whatever. So I did it in Albuquerque at the Hispanic Cultural Center. And it was an evening of dichos, Siciliaisms, dichos de mi madre. That started the whole thing. And so really, and it was very successful. And then I did it. I revived it the year afterwards and made it more of a performance piece and a stage piece at the Courtney Center. And people loved it because they saw themselves in it. They saw their mothers. And my mother and dad were alive. So it was so wonderful to be able to honor my parents at the time that they were alive. And then I toured it. I would be invited to go speak all over the country or around here and talking about arts and culture and arts and education. And I would always, you know, give this presentation as their speaker. But then I would do a cutting from Siciliaisms. And so it was like showing what I was talking about in culture and showing it. And so I just did it again with John Hunter, just invited me recently at the conference that he produced here at NMSU, The Living History. And so I'm like a visual aid of my history, my family history, and how I put it into production. And so I talk about my mother, Cecilia, and in his case, I went further back and did more about our family in Mesilla. And my father is Fritz and Oliver in Mesilla. My mother is Trivis and Fitch from Doñana. So I gave them a little more history going into the 1800s of the area and then went into the pieces. So it was the first time I did it for an international audience. So it's so New Mexican-centric and Latino-centric. I said, is this going to play to an international audience? And it did. It was so exciting. And so that's what I want to concentrate. I really want to make this piece a more theatrical piece, and I want to stage it in a different way. And so what I'm doing this next year, because I retire in a year from the schools end of it, and so I'm working on going back. It's almost going back to the future and going back and pulling out my acting, my as a performer.
And that was from 10 years ago?
Well, I started Alma de Arte 10 years ago, right? We opened in 2004. July of 2004. So we're going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary. And then what I say, my sister says, you're not really retiring, but I am going to retire to do other community things, to bring a focus into how the arts affect our community, how important they are for economic development, how important they are for a creative economy.
And how important are they?
Oh my gosh. Anything that is happening at a national level for like renovation or revitalization of community. It's arts and culture that brings, like our downtown area, it's arts and culture that creates, flourishes in a community. People don't understand. Let's take the Black Box Theater, for example. So when you go see the Black Box Theater and you go, or the community theater, or a ticket at the Rio Grande, what you are doing, how it triples in economic end of it. So the Black Box has to buy lumber, has to buy the refreshments that they give, it has to do all these things. So they are bringing back to the economy through art. The symphony, what it does, employs the performers, the musicians, the staff, the printing. People do not understand, and it's a clean economy. And then the same thing in cultural tourism. When we have good cultural tourism, which is our culture here in Las Cruces, when people go to the mariachi conference, when they hear, they hire musicians to play at their daughter's wedding, they are employing artists. It's only one aspect. If we, the National Endowment for the Arts, arts communities, arts places, they have research after research of what can happen in a community because of creative, it's called the creative economy. And that's what I want to work on after I retire, to bring this energy to Las Cruces. So I'm inviting everybody in Las Cruces to help me out, and so that we bring in our Latino artists, we bring in our Native American artists, we bring in all of these artists in creating an economy and a flourishing quality of life. So you do things. I always look at the arts. When I started the Courtney Center, you look at the arts through education, so you're learning what you do in education. I looked at it through career development because I made my living as an independent artist. So how do I become knowledgeable in the career of end of it? And in leisure, so that you have somebody who just wants to go listen to a concert, that just wants to go see a play, that just wants to buy a piece of art to put on there, that wants to buy a book that our literary artist created. So it's all tied in together, and I don't think that we know it yet in Las Cruces.
So that's why you call it emerging artists, and what is it that the future holds for us with our Latino art?
Many things. You're going to, well, if I have anything to do with it, you will see more things happening, more artists in the galleries, more people at the Ramble. You see more visual art happening. You see more dancing. You see more music. You just see it happening and flourishing.
And thank you so much, Irene Oliver Lewis, artistic producer and founder of the Court Youth Center and Alma de Arte Charter High School, and your alma, your soul of art, because that's what alma de arte means, the soul of art, and you still will continue with your soul of art. Thank you.
I love that puentes and the sense of bridging. Thank you. Mil gracias.
And you're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.